The following is an encore episode of The Archbishop Show with Archbishop Thomas J. Rohde and featuring the Director of the Office of Family Life and Evangelization, Patrick Ahrensberg. On this episode, Archbishop Rohde and Patrick Ahrensberg welcome the Director of Vocations for the Archdiocese, Father Victor Ingalls, to talk about building a culture of vocations. We hope you enjoy. From the Archdiocese of Mobile, Archangel Radio presents The Archbishop Show with our shepherd, Archbishop Thomas J. Rohde, and featuring the Director of the Office of Evangelization and Family Life, Patrick Ahrensberg. And now, your host, Patrick Ahrensberg.
Hello, welcome to The Archbishop Show. I'm Patrick Ahrensberg. I'm Director of the Office for Evangelization and Family Life. And Archbishop, we're joined again today by Father Victor, with Father Victor.
Father Victor Ingalls, the Archdiocese and Vocation Director. And Father Victor, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me back. I'm glad I didn't burn my bridges last time.
Far from it.
Archbishop, obviously we have the Vocation Director here, so we're going to continue a conversation, go a little deeper in a different angle than we went last time when we talked about vocations. Before we begin that conversation, would you lead us in prayer?
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Dear God, our Father, you have taught us through Scripture that you have plans for us and that your plans are for our good. Give us the guidance and the strength of the Holy Spirit to trust you in all things. Be with us and our loved ones. Bless and protect us through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen. So, you know, Archbishop, we talked in the last program how you asked Father Victor to be the full-time vocation director. And so, of course, when people think of archdiocese and director of vocations, we think priesthood, religious life, that kind of discernment. But you didn't tell them to get you more seminarians. I'm sure you'll be glad to receive more seminarians. But what you asked him to do is to create a culture of vocation. And we touched on that last time, but we didn't really delve into what you meant by that or what you're thinking.
Yeah, when I had a conversation with Father Victor, and we had a wonderful conversation, and I said, I want you to create a culture of vocation here in the Archdiocese. And that includes encouraging, supporting guys who are open to the priesthood, as well as assisting with vocations to religious life. But it's far more than that. And so this program is not about being a seminarian or entering a novitiate. It's about vocation. And vocation comes from a Latin word meaning to call, vocare. And I'm convinced that God calls each one of us in our lives to be open to his plans for us, that he has plans for us. And so I asked Father Victor, try to create that sort of culture in our archdiocese to invite people, to encourage people, to challenge people, to be open to whatever God wants to accomplish in our life.
So Father Victor, I think perhaps a good number of our people are thinking, wait a minute, I thought vocation meant, am I called to the priesthood? Or if I'm a young lady, am I called to the religious life? Clearly, we're using that word in a slightly different way. Can you please explain that?
I'd be happy to. Thank you. First, I'll say I really like a proverb. It's Proverbs 16:9. It says, the man plans the way, but the Lord directs the steps of the faithful. The man plans the way, but the Lord directs his steps. That starts to bring us into the space of vocation. God, in his providence, has plans for us every second of every day. And but I do think it's helpful. I think we throw the word around vocation in a lot of different ways. And so I'd like to kind of give maybe a big picture way to kind of focus in on that. Would that be okay?
It's his show.
But I'll Archbishop, speak for him is that okay?
Yes. Yeah.
Can I do a big picture?
Go ahead. Go for it.
Thank you. I stole this image from Father Brett Brannan, who's written a lot on vocation. He wrote this book called To Save a Thousand Souls, and he has a great piece there kind of on this topic. But he always draws a triangle on the board, and I do that in all my presentations, that represents God's calling in our life. He speaks to us in many different ways, but there's three big ways. And if you can think of this triangle as like a pyramid, it has three layers. At the foundation, the number one calling, the most fundamental thing that God calls all of us to, every single human being that's ever been born, is holiness. And so sometimes you hear people talk about a vocation to holiness, the universal call to holiness. What does that mean? To be like God. How do we become like God? Through friendship with Him. John 15:15, there's no greater love than to lay your life down for one's friends. Jesus says, I call you friends. So through that friendship with Christ, we become like God. We become more patient, more loving, more forgiving, more kind. The number one thing God's interested in all of our lives is us becoming more like Him through friendship with Him. So that's the number one thing He's calling us to do. It's a given. Don't, if you're listening, don't worry, but don't wonder if you are. You are. If you exist in this world, you're called to be holy, to be friends with God.
And that's our ultimate destiny as well. That's for all eternity, we're going to be growing
that's
in this holiness.
That's our ultimate call, ultimate vocation.
Exactly. And that the amazing thing about that is we are starting a friendship with God that will last forever. Like, we look forward to heaven is friendship with God on into eternity. But the wild thing about it is our eternity has already begun. We know the guy that we're going to spend eternity with. Even the scriptures, we have very little idea of what heaven will be like, but one scriptural image that is given to us is we will see Him face to face. And that's, we know in our own experience, looking somebody face to face is intimate. That's trust there. That's love there. And so we can get caught up in all the details, but it's good to remember, like, the heart of our life here on earth is going to be the same thing that's going to expand into eternity, and that's just being friends with God. The reason why God sent His Son Jesus into the world is because He wanted to heal the relationship with us, to bury the hatchet, to be better friends with us. And it's incredible if you read John 15, there's no greater love than to lay your life down for one's friend. Struck me 2 years ago at Good Friday as I was looking at the cross, and you always see Jesus on the cross, you know He died for you. But that verse, He's up there because He considers me to be His friend. Like, He laid down His life for me because He considered me to be His friend. It's so simple, but that's what God's calling us to. Just to be friends with Him. Spend time with Him. I remember my spiritual director in seminary, he used to say one of his favorite ways of talking about prayer. He said, prayer, because a lot of times people come to me or as priests say, well, what should I do in prayer? What should I say? How should I say it? Like all this stuff. And he said, my image of prayer I give you to think about is it's talking to Jesus, praying to God. It's like fishing with your best friend. Sometimes you talk, sometimes you don't. But either way, it's time well spent because you're with your friend. It's so simple. But it's important to not lose sight of that because we're going to get into some more details, but it's all based on this idea of friendship with God and His Son Jesus. And that friendship that you share is the Holy Spirit. It all comes back to this idea of just being better friends with God and that being what fulfills us.
So that's the bottom part of our triangle of this calling from God is to be friends with Him.
Yes. Going up to that next level is what I would say capital V vocation. When we talk about capital V vocation, vocation is using a lot of words, as Archbishop said. The word itself just means calling. But in the Catholic Church, when we use that capital V in a technical way, we are talking about out of that friendship is going to emerge a certain way of us being friends with Him, a certain way of us laying down our life. Jesus says, if you want to be my friends, if you want to be my disciples, you have to do three things. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And John 15, he also says, if you are my friends, you will do what I command you. If you really listen, if you really trust somebody, you do what they say, especially if it's a trusted friend. If a friend calls you out and says, look, man, you're being ridiculous, you listen because of the friendship. But more deeply than that, we all as Christians necessarily at some point in our lives will be asked to go all in, to deny ourselves, take up our cross, follow Jesus. That is an all-in proposition. Archbishop was preaching at Mass today about loving one another. He gives us this command, love one another as I have loved you. What does that look like? Look at Jesus on the cross. How much did He love us? He gave everything. I always joke around with elementary school, you know, What if the gospel said God sent his only begotten son to sacrifice his pinky finger for the forgiveness of sins? And you walk into church, you just see a pinky finger nailed up on the cross. Like, would we be sitting here today? Like, would that be an effective religion? This is a dumb image maybe, but no, it's an all-encompassing gift that we're asked to make. God will ask us all to go all in at some point. What will that look like? Well, the thing that most people, when we say pray for vocations, most people think priest, religious. Priest, nuns, monks, brothers, sisters. Yes, that is what we're talking about. But also, we are talking about marriage. That's a pretty popular thing that God calls people to do. That's an all-encompassing, that is a way of laying down your life completely. Our idea of marriage, if you read Ephesians 5, is what's unique about Christian marriage. A lot of people can enter into quote-unquote marriage. You can get a document signed at the courthouse and in a lot of different ways. But what makes Christian marriage distinctive is that husbands and wives love each other as Christ loved the church. It's that friendship, laying down your life for your friend. That's what makes it a sacrament. That's what makes it totally different from any other definition of marriage on earth. Total service. Like, I'm going to lay my whole life to love you and serve you as Jesus loved the church.
You're listening to the Archbishop Show on Archangel Radio, 1410 AM, 94.5 FM. We have Father Victor Ingles, the Vocation Director of the Archdiocese Mobile, here with us. And Archbishop, we're talking about God's call.
Yeah, Father Victor. Okay, if I'm listening to this program and God has a call for me and to be holy, that's universal.
Yes.
Okay, but to be more specific in my life, what's God's plan for me? Where is God calling me to live out that holiness? How do I discern that?
That's a great question. I think the first thing is knowing what the options are. And kind of we were talking about the capital V vocation. Yes, God might call you to be a priest. He might call you to be religious. He might call you to be married. But he also might call you to what I like to call the consecrated single life. Some people talk about the single life as a vocation. I agree, but I don't. I like to say consecrated single life. You hear people talk about the consecrated life. The reason why I like to say consecrated is because at some point, some people might not feel called to be religious. They might not feel called to be married. They might not feel called to be priests, but they do feel a call to give their heart to Christ. And if you go to mobilevocations.com and you click on consecrated single life, you can see all the different ways historically this has been lived out in the church. But some people have a sense that they're supposed to give their life to Christ and to remain celibate. Matthew 19, Jesus talks about some people will give up marriage for the sake of the kingdom of God. And that has historically looked a lot of different ways. And one way that I think many times people forget is just the taking of a private vow. Some of the most powerful saints in our history were not religious. They were not married. They were not priests. But they felt called. Jesus asked them to give up marriage, to unite themselves completely to his friendship, and to be totally at his disposal here on earth. One example of that I'll point out that I really have a devotion to is Saint Giuseppe Moscati. He's from Naples. He lived around the time of World War II. He was at medical school. He's top of his class. He helped discover penicillin. He had the whole world at his fingertips. He also was a deeply devout Catholic who had a deep devotion to the Eucharist, went, received the Eucharist, prayed before the Eucharist every day before he went to medical school and when he went to work as a doctor. And as World War II broke out, and there's so many wounded people, sick people, poor, there before the Eucharist one day, Jesus asked him, he said, "Will you give your life to me and dedicate yourself to taking care of me in the sick?" And he said, yes. It was a private thing that happened for him, but for the rest of his life, he tirelessly dedicated himself as a doctor, as a layman. He wasn't married. He wasn't a religious guy. He was just a doctor that gave his heart to Christ to totally take care of the sick. Another popular guy with young people, Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati. Just a dude. He died. He was a young guy. He lived in Milan. He was from a wealthy family. He spent a lot of time in a hidden way taking care of the poor. He evangelized his friends. He loved to go hiking and all of these things. He was totally in love with this one woman, but he felt Jesus holding it back and said, "Will you give your heart to me? Will you dedicate your whole life to my friendship and just be available for people?" And that's what he did. You know, he died of a disease, you know, at a young age. St. Catherine of Siena, a lot of people think she was religious. She was not religious. She was a lay person. She was involved with a third order, you know, so she would wear a distinct dress. But she just made a private vow to Jesus when she was 6 to dedicate her life to him. She only lived to be 33, one of the most influential saints of all time. I mention these people because God has plans for everybody. And it doesn't always fit neatly into the categories you might be aware of. But I think part of us having a more robust culture of vocations is understanding what the options are. And so that's one thing. If you go to mobilevocations.com, it's focused on seminarians, but I have different tabs that explains all the different vocations. Because I think, Archbishop, to finally get back to your question, how do you begin discerning? Well, it's tough to answer a call to something you don't know about. And so that's what I say is step one.
Let me throw out to both of you all this question. Well, how about someone who's married? Is it possible that God is calling a married person? I know that's a call. To be married is a call, absolutely a very fundamental call. But is it possible that God is calling married people to a more specific call within their marriage, that they are married, but then in their life in the world, that God is calling them to a more specific call?
No, another great question. I think that takes us to the, now obviously, maybe a husband is called to the diaconate. That's kind of a capital V vocation, which is, you know, something that could be a secondary vocation that they accept into their life. But I think more of what you're looking at is the top of the triangle. It's the third piece of the triangle. This is going to complete the triangle. So we have holiness on the bottom, capital V vocation, and then we got job. You know, what God is, whereas vocation is who God is calling you to be, job is what God is calling you to do. And he has jobs, assignments, tasks for us to do every day. And that is where the rub of that daily discernment comes into play. And I think, too, of, you know, what is God calling us to do with our talents? Like, okay, we have an identity. Even as a priest, that's one of the toughest things to explain to people about being a diocesan priest. Like, well, what do you do every day? You're like, well, just pick a day. Because what I do varies so much, but a lot of it's a daily discernment of who needs to be loved today, who needs to be served today. But that's true, I think, for everybody in the Christian life. Is it's kind of like, I'll go back to my old spiritual church. He always talked about like spiritual triage. You come into a scene, there's like, you know, this guy's got shot in the chest, this person's got a gash in their leg, this person's got a paper cut. You got to figure out like, what's the most pressing thing today? And I think that's everybody's Christian life, is it's discerning what's the Holy Spirit asking you to do on a daily basis.
You know, sometimes when I speak with college students or seniors in high school, I will ask them to please ask yourselves these two questions. And because I say I think a lot of people never ask themselves these two questions. And so the first is, please ask yourself, what do I want to do with my life? And you would think that that's a very logical question that anyone would ask. But then I'll say to college students, say, look, you know people who have graduated from college. Your friends have graduated before you. When they graduated from college and they had several job offers, which one did they accept? And invariably, the students will chuckle or laugh and say, whichever job pays the most. And I said, yeah, you know. That's usually how we choose a job. And it's good when you graduate from college to get a job. You start building up a resume, whatever that job may be, and it's always good to have money in your wallet. But I said the problem with that is that that can set us on a trajectory, on a path that we didn't choose. We just chose the salary, not the path. And I've talked with people farther down that path, who are in their 30s or 40s, and who will say, I hate my job, I hate what I do. I feel like I'm dying, like I'm starving, because they're, and I'll say, well, why did you choose this? And they say, I really didn't. I drifted into this. I never asked myself what I really want to do with my life. And the other question I'll ask the young people, please ask yourself, is God, what do you want me to do with my life? And that's another question people usually don't ask. And those questions, I think, really go together. Because I think if God is drawing us to something, I think he puts an attraction in our heart for it. And so to ask myself, what do I want to do with my life, is perhaps unconsciously asking God what you want to do with my life, because I think God puts those promptings into our heart. But I'll say to young people, don't be afraid to ask, what do I want to do with my life? Don't lose sight of what feeds your heart, because God created your heart. And so always be open to what you really want to do with your life, and don't be afraid to ask God to help you in making those decisions. God is involved in our hearts. He loves us that much.
And it doesn't necessarily mean you have to work for the church. I mean, I'm the lay person in here, but I work for the church.
Right.
So I don't want our listeners to get the impression that what God has put on your heart is always going to lead you to work full-time for the church, because
yes,
it's not. I know people who are lawyers, people who are doctors, people who are accountants who love what they do. They're doing what they feel like they're called to do.
Yes, I love this whole conversation. And the other question that I think that nobody asks in this day and age, and a day and age that's, we're globalized, we kind of live in ideas and we swim in the internet, and we have very little groundedness to our reflections. But the other question is, in addition to what Archbishop is, God, where are you calling me to be? And I know yesterday we were talking about kind of this new initiative, the Vocations Office, that we're calling Native Soil, but the www.nativesoil.org, check it out, subscribe on Spotify, YouTube, iTunes. But it's this exact idea that Archbishop,
that's just shameless.
But it's exactly what Archbishop is saying. We're trying to get everybody in our archdiocese to think about, God, what do you want to do with me? Where are you calling me to put down roots? The idea of native soil is, for a Christian, well, there's a beautiful reading, the Office of Readings, I think it was 2 days ago. It was a letter to Diogenes, I believe. And he has this beautiful thing saying, Christians have no homeland, because ultimately our homeland is in heaven. But also, our homeland is wherever we are, because that's where God has called us to be. Exactly what we're going for in this idea of native soil. If we're going to be Christian, and more specifically, if we are going to actually be Catholic, wherever we are, we should claim as our native soil. Because our friend Jesus Christ is there in that moment with us on that plot of ground.
You're listening to the Archbishop Show on Archangel Radio, 1410 AM, 94.5 FM. We're talking about a culture of vocations with Father Ingalls, the Archdiocesan Director of Vocations. And, you know, it's one of you might have said this in a homily over the last 2 months. We've been blessed to be together for Mass every day. But that sense of God created you to be in this moment at this place for a specific purpose.
Yes. And to not take that light. All we have is a moment. This is it. Like, we've lived up to this point, we have it, but all we ever have is a moment. We're in a moment with Christ. That's it. And one day we'll die, and that moment will bleed into eternity. But that's all we ever have is a moment. But that moment exists in time and space, in a place. And in God's providence, the place matters. I'll just give one anecdote. I was preaching on kind of this topic one time about, think about where God wants you to be. He might call you to a place where you make like the maximum amount of money, to be the maximum level of comfort, the maximum level of social amenities. But it is in the realm of possibility that God, as a married person, as a single person, whatever you're doing, might call you to a place where you don't make the most money, where you don't have the most entertainment venues within a 10-mile drive. And I'd preach this thing, and this girl came up to me after Mass, and she said, "Man, Father, that homily really nailed me, because I'm getting married, and my husband really wants us to move back to the small town where he's from. All his family's there. We have so much support. So we have friends. But I've been really resistant because we could make more money in another town." She goes, "Honestly, the only thing that's better about another town is more money." And she goes, and this just convicted me. Like, I hadn't even asked myself the question, "God, where are you calling me to be?" Case in point, that lack of consideration, I believe, is the number one reason holding back the Holy Spirit from moving in the world, and particularly just if we're, okay, archdiocese, whatever, is people are unwilling to consider, "God, what do you want to do in my life here? Where?" Like, let it be grounded. Our spirituality, our discernment is way too abstract. It's just a bunch of ideas. But until we actually get to know our native soil, get to know our neighborhoods, get to know the needs around us, and take an honest assessment of our own God-given abilities, and get in touch, as Archbishop was saying, with what things really light us up, what things are we drawn toward because we're good at, we're passionate about, then we are really kind of holding God at arm's length and saying, "You stand over there, I'll stay over here, and we'll kind of just go comfortably along this path."
So I have loved listening to all of this. I'm a simple man, and I'm looking for a takeaway. Would it be accurate to say that really to ask ourselves the question is, what do I want to do? What does God want me to do? Would that be a pretty solid takeaway from this conversation?
Yeah, I definitely think so. And I would just add the question of, God, where do you want me to put down roots? Sometimes God is, by necessity, you're going to have to move around. That's totally fine. But wherever you are, God wants you to put down roots. St. Francis Sales, bloom where you're planted. If you're there for a day, if you're there for a week, if you're there for 15 generations, it's time to put down roots today. Today we're supposed to put down roots. Maybe you get uprooted and take somewhere else tomorrow.
Probably. And speaking of time.
We're out of time.
Thoroughly enjoyed it. Father, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah. Father Victor, thank you for being with us. Mr. Pat, thank you. So let us end with a blessing. And may the blessing of God be upon you, all of you and your loved ones, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Until next time.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to The Archbishop Show with our shepherd, Archbishop Thomas J. Rohde, as well as Pat Ahrensberg, the Director of the Office of Evangelization and Family Life. And now, stay tuned for more solid Catholic programming on Archangel Radio.